So good morning. If you heard, Jeff isn't here. So I'm here. And I don't have any of the signs of authority on today. I don't have Jeff's tie. I don't have John's suspenders. I do have my cool musician shirt on, though. I'm hoping that will do.
And not a stitch of purple.
Not a stitch of purple. Nope, I'm not a purple kind of guy. Sorry. No. A little blue on the shoes, maybe. But I have had something laid on me by the Holy Spirit to a message to bring. And believe me, it's got to be the Holy Spirit at work, because naturally I'm an introvert. I would much rather be down there listening to somebody else up here than be down up here in this lonely place in front of all of you. But I'm going to bring it anyway. And what we're really doing here is we're starting our stewardship focus. And we're doing maybe something a little bit different this year than we have done in the past. I'm going to be doing actually two messages. This is the first time I get to come, and next month I'll come again. Laying the foundation today. And what I'm going to be talking about today isn't going to sound much like stewardship at first, but it will relate, and really the second message will bring it to a close. But I'll be talking about our identity in God today. And I'm starting here because, well, a lot of us don't feel like we're getting all that God has for them, I think. No, I felt that way. I see a lot of Christians struggling with living out the Christian life. And I think people are being held back from fully and freely giving of themselves because of this struggle. And what's been laid on my heart is that the root of all this is an identity problem, an identity crisis, if you will, and that is that we don't understand our identity in God. So I'm going to talk a little bit about that today. We could probably go on for days about this. I don't have days. We only have minutes. So it'll be kind of a high-flying overview, but hopefully it will touch you all. So we're going to start out in Ephesians this morning, and if you're following along, it's Ephesians 1, 3 to 14. And I'm going to be bouncing around a little bit in the Bible, so hopefully you can follow me. So I'm going to start with verse 3. How we praise God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms, because we belong to Christ. Long ago, even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. His unchanging plan has always been to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. And this gave him great pleasure. So we praise God for the wonderful kindness he has poured out on us because we belong to his dearly beloved Son. He is so rich in kindness that he has purchased our freedom through the blood of his Son, and our sins are forgiven. He has showered his kindness on us, along with all wisdom and understanding. God's secret plan has been revealed to us. It's a plan centered on Christ, designed long ago according to his good pleasure. And this is the plan. At the right time, he will bring everything together under the authority of Christ, everything in heaven and on earth. Furthermore, because of Christ, we have received an inheritance from God, for he chose us from the beginning, and things happened just as he decided long ago. His purpose was that we who were to first trust in Christ should praise our glorious God. And now you have also heard the truth, the good news that God saves you. And when you believed in Christ, he identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit, whom he promised long ago. The Spirit is God's guarantee that he will give us everything he promised, and he has purchased us to be his own people. This is just one more reason for us to praise our glorious God. So there's some important things here. Long ago, that was mentioned a couple times in that passage. Long ago, before we were born, God knew who we were. And he loved us, he chose us, He chose us to be holy and without fault. And this is our original identity in God. This is what he created us to be originally. He loved us so much that he bought our freedom with the blood of his own son. It was in verse 7. But why did he have to do that? Well, he had to do that because we lost our original God identity and we gained a sin identity. We got separated from God. So how did that happen? Well, we're going to flip over now to Genesis. Hold your place in Ephesians if you're following along, because we're going to be back there. We're going to go to Genesis. And we're going to talk about Adam and Eve in the fall. So we're going to start in Genesis 2, and this is 16 and 17. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You are free to eat from any tree of the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for that on that day you eat from it, you will certainly die." Now, Adam and Eve were communing with God. They had a really one-on-one great relationship with God. They were functioning in their identity that God gave them in the garden. God gave them this one command, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And he said, don't eat or you'll die. So let's skip forward a little bit. This is Genesis 3, starting verse 1. Now the serpent was the most cunning of all the wild animals of the Lord that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say, you can't eat from any tree in the garden?" So already Satan is trying to lie to us because he's twisting God's own words. God didn't say that you can't eat from any tree in the garden. He only had one specific tree. The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat the fruit from the trees in the garden, but the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden, God said, you must not eat it or touch it." Now, Eve is getting it wrong too, because he never said that they couldn't touch it, just said not to eat it. "Or you will die." "No, you will not die," the serpent said to the woman. "In fact, God knows that when you eat it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So, right there, if you take this as they're speaking of dying as physically dying, the devil's not lying, but he's twisting God's truth one more time to turn it into a lie. "The woman saw that the tree was good for food and delightful to look at, and it was desirable for attaining wisdom. So she took some of its fruit and ate it. She also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew they were naked. So they sewed the fig leaves together and made loincloths for themselves." So we know the rest of that story. God found them hiding, and he cast them out of the garden. Their act of disobedience divorced them from God's fellowship. So they disobeyed, and they ate the fruit that God told them not to, but they didn't die. They didn't die physically anyway, right? So did God lie? No. Because he wasn't talking about a physical death. They didn't die physically, but their relationship to God died. At that point, when they disobeyed, their God identity left them, and they got a sin identity. They got a Satan identity, if you will, or a world identity. And after that point, everyone born of Adam or Eve, all of us, were born into that sin identity, not the God identity anymore. So now if we go back to Ephesians again, this is chapter 2, starting verse 1. "Once you were dead, doomed forever because of your many sins. You used to live just like the rest of the world, full of sin, obeying Satan, the mighty prince of the power of the air. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us used to live that way, following the passions and desires of our evil nature. We were born with an evil nature, and we were under God's anger just like everyone else." So what Paul is talking about there, that's our sin identity that he's talking about. Or you could call it our Adam identity. It's our inheritance, lucky us, from Adam and Eve back in Genesis. So if we move on, verses 4 through 7. But God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so very much that even while we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. And it's only by God's special favor that you have been saved. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ, and we were seated with him in the heavenly realms, all because we are one with Christ Jesus. And so God can always point to us as examples of the incredible wealth of his favor and kindness towards us, and shown in all he has done for us through Jesus Christ. So God is good. He loves us so much and knows our true identity. Loves us so much that he sacrificed his son to wash away our sin identity. So there's a itinerant pastor by the name of Dan Moeller. And about a month ago or so, I saw one of his videos. It was Aaron Sierra that actually introduced it to Cheryl and I. His special mission, if you will, is on identity, our identity in Christ, and also loving God. His ministry is called Neck Ministry because he's trying to reconnect the head with the body. He's a powerful speaker, and he's a man on fire for God. This is a quote from him. I was taught he died on a cross to take me to heaven, but it's not really true. He died on a cross to get sin off of me so heaven can come back inside of me. So that's what God did for us. We got separated. He had a plan. His son Christ died to wash the sins off of us, take away that separation, bring us back into relationship with him. When we came back in relationship with him, then he comes and lives inside of us, heaven inside of us, living out through us. Verse 8, God saved you by a special favor when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It's a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we've done, so none of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. There's that long ago thing. God has restored our identity in him so that we can do what he planned for us to do long ago. He knew who we were. He had plans for us. We fell aside. Now he has a way to redeem us. And through that way, we can go back to doing what he wanted us to do long ago. It's a free gift from God. We can't do anything to get that other than have faith. We can't earn it by works, just by faith. So this is good news. This is good news. And I know right now this sounds a lot like Christian 101 sort of stuff, but it's going to get a lot deeper in just a minute here. So why is this such good news? Well, first of all, your sins are removed, washed away, gone forever. God can't even see them or remember them. And that there's a couple of references. That one is Isaiah. This is Isaiah 43:25. It is I who sweep away your transgressions for my own sake and remember your sins no more. God, once you've accepted Christ, Christ has washed your sins away. God doesn't even see them. God doesn't remember them. Doesn't even know they exist anymore. Your old identity, your Adam identity, that sin identity is gone. It's dead. It's buried. Jeff told me a little story. Your cat dies. You go bury it in the backyard. You don't go back out in a few weeks and dig it up again, do you? It's dead. It's gone. It's buried. Your new identity is your original identity in God that he created in you a long time ago. We're the new creation. We're the new creation, as told in 2 Corinthians. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and look, new things have come. That's our identity. We're new. We're God's creation again. We're not living in Satan's power or in Satan's world. Well, we're living in the world, but we're not of the world. So here we go. Here's where it gets maybe a little deeper. Since your new identity is in God, and God is pure, so are you. You no longer need to sin. None of us need to sin any longer. None of us will sin any longer if we're walking in Christ. Let's take a quick look at 1 John 3:9. Almost all 1 John is about this, but we'll pull this verse out right here. And you know what? I'm going to have you all read it with me. All right? Everyone who has been born of God does not sin, because his seed remains in him. He is not able to sin because he has been born of God. Whoa. That's heavy. It's in here. It's true. So I think the natural question and the question I've been asking myself for years, I've read that, but why do I keep struggling with sin? Isn't that just the way it is? No. All that stuff that's in your past, all the sin, or things that happened to you, or things you did, I don't care what it is, anger, lust, neglect, alcohol, drugs, sexual abuse, whatever, that was all part of your old identity. Your sin identity, whether you did it, it was done to you, doesn't matter. That's in your old identity. Who you are in God isn't about what you do or where you've been. It's about who you know. To quote Dan Moeller again, you think your identity and value is based on the way you live and what you've done. But the reason he loves you is because of what he created you to be, your potential and your purpose. That's why love never fails. God knows who you really are. You just haven't realized it. God knows what you look like when he lives inside of you, and he believes that's worth dying for. That's good news. That's good news, folks. But why don't we grab that? Well, we fall for what I think is the second greatest and most successful lie of the devil. Originally I put down the greatest, but I think it's the second. The first one was the fall itself, when the devil lied to Adam and Eve. The second greatest lie and very successful lie he tells, Christian, you've accepted Christ. But you're not really changed. You're not really different. You're just the same. It's always going to be that way. It's a lie. The devil is lying to you. As my good friend Aaron said, the devil is stealing your lunch. Not only is he taking your lunch and eating it, he's taking your breakfast and your dinner too. God gave us the greatest gift of all, and the devil comes and twists it and says, oh, it didn't really happen. Nothing's going to change for you. You're just going to struggle. Not true. We've got to realize what God did for us. And we've got to reach out and we've got to grab that with both hands. Hang on to it. You need to claim it as our new identity. It's promised. It's promised in here. Dan Moeller says, from Christ, God came and told me who I was. And now I don't even want that stuff anymore, stuff being sins, temptations in the past. He raised my identity and my esteem and my understanding in him, and those things that pulled me, those sins or temptations, died. So I'm not biting my lip trying to be a good boy. I'm his boy. I'm not trying not to sin. I'm living right with God. If we have accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are the new creation. Don't let Satan steal that from you, because that's what he wants to do. He wants to steal that back. And even Jesus, when he saved the woman from stoning, told her to go and sin no more. Now, he said, go and sin no more. So maybe he was talking about the specific sin he was doing, or maybe he was talking about sin in general. But he said, go and sin no more. And I don't think Jesus would have said, go and sin no more if it wasn't possible. It is possible. So where do we go from here? Is it really possible not to sin? I just said it is, but I can relate my own story. So I've struggled with sin and temptation for a long time after coming to Christ. And I've struggled with a lot of the passages in the Bible that I spoke about this morning. And I think, you know, the Holy Spirit was trying to get me ready. And I saw this video of Dan Moeller speaking on this, and things became clear. It was laid out in a way that finally I could understand and accept and realize this identity problem. And so for the last few weeks, I've still been tempted. But now that I accept and know my true identity, I know that temptation for what it is, and I can leave it be. I can recognize that it isn't part of my new identity, and I can leave it be. Now, I haven't been perfect. I've stumbled a few times. But if my sin level was up here before, well, it's down here now. As a matter of fact, now that some of the things that were obvious have been taken away from me, the Holy Spirit is showing me some other things that I'm not doing so well. And it's like, oh, okay, yeah, better get that right. But it's true. I really, like Dan Moeller said, I really am not feeling like I want to sin. I've been able to resist temptation. And I was trying to figure out how to relate how this happened, and I was editing last week's sermon audio last night. Usually don't do it on a Saturday night. Usually do it earlier in the week, but I didn't get to it. And the last thing Jeff said in his sermon last week struck me. And he said, if I can conceive it and believe it, I can receive it. And that struck me because that's basically how I accepted this. Finally, you know, through all the prep and then hearing Dan's message, I was able to conceive that I have a new identity. And if I grab that new identity, I can conquer a lot of the problems in my life. So I conceived it. I believed it. I received it. The Holy Spirit is working more on me. Look, I'm an introvert. I don't want to be up here. But what am I doing up here? You know? This isn't me. This is the Holy Spirit. So even if I falter, I am still God's new creation. Holy Spirit and I can pick myself up and move on and sin no more. Now, the warning, I suppose, if we fall back into a pattern of sinning, or really consciously sin, I think then we need to go back and re-examine ourselves, because we probably let go of that God identity and grab the hold of our old sin identity again. In other words, we're digging up that dead cat that I mentioned earlier. When we're living in our God identity, being a new creation, we start looking more like God. Spending time with God becomes a lot easier. Caring for our brothers and sisters in Christ becomes natural. Loving the world, even if it doesn't love us, is now possible when we're secure in that identity. You know, God's moving. Quick little story. I'm going to pick on Aaron and Sierra for a second, because Aaron and Sierra are both going through this too. Last week at the end of the service during the prayer time, Sierra was right about up here because I was right behind her. Aaron was back on the video, and they both got the same name of a person to pray for at the same time. Of course, they were opposite ends of the room. They got the same message of what to pray for this person. And thank God they listened and they obeyed and they went and prayed for the person. And from what I understand, it was probably a pretty powerful moment. But I thought that was so cool. I mean, it wasn't like they're right next to each other. Oh, do you think we ought to? No, they were like opposite sides of this room. God told them the same person the same thing. The Holy Spirit's moving. The Holy Spirit's at work when we're connected and let him work through us. One last quote from Dan. I'm going to wrap up. But I really like this quote. The only reason your feet are on the planet is to look like God. So, I'll be back next time to expand on this next month, to move it forward a little bit into more of the stewardship realm. I'll give you a preview. The title of the sermon is going to be Love is a Verb. Tim, why don't you come on up and we'll pray.